One of the commentaries that I use when I am preparing for my homilies described Thomas as a pessimist, that although he was with Jesus before they went to Jerusalem, he's quoted as saying, "Let us go to Jerusalem with Jesus and die with him," because they were headed up to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus was pretty sure that would be the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back in terms of the scribes and the Pharisees wanting to kill him. And then he sort of disappears. He doesn't happen to be there that day when Jesus shows up. And so he has been given the sort of nickname of Thomas the Doubter. I'm not sure he earned that, and neither is Father Joachim. He had a great homily this morning about Thomas. And as I've been wandering through these readings, the thing that keeps coming back to me is, let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. So often in the scriptures, what was written thousands of years ago rings down to us in our own time, in our own place, in our own lives, in our own relationships with our God. His mercy endures forever. How often have we relied on that mercy in our lives? How often do we continue to rely on that mercy in our lives? God's love is unrelenting. God's love never, ever lets go. I can't imagine Thomas. Thomas, come here. Do it. Go ahead. You wanted to do it? Do it. Put your hands in my side. Feel the nail holes. What choice did Thomas have but to say, "My Lord and my God"? What choice do we have? If we are called to follow Jesus Christ, then to say, "Yes, my Lord and my God." And we rely on his mercy, because I don't know about you, but I'm not anywhere close to perfection. And so time and again, we kneel before Jesus Christ and we say, "My Lord and my God, forgive me. My Lord and my God, help me to believe." And it happens. It does happen. God comes into our hearts and our minds and our souls. We see a shadow of that. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The difference that we see in the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles and all of the stories leading up to that moment of Pentecost, we have men and women who aren't sure. "Yes, Lord, we believe." "Well, we don't believe that, and we're not going there." And then comes the Spirit in flame and smoke and a small, tiny voice into their hearts, into their voices, into their hands, into their feet, into their bodies, and off they go. The only disciple that wasn't martyred was John. All the rest of the disciples were martyred for preaching the gospel. And even that process is in our lives today. We continue to be given martyrs to the gospel through acts of terrorism and murder. Those martyrs, those people praying, looking at the resurrection, anticipating Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. God's mercy endures forever. And in our own lives, we seek it always. There's one way to go about this. Actually, there's lots of ways, but here's the way that I go about it. St. Francis is one of my favorite saints. I know I poke fun at the Franciscans and the Jesuits. It's because I love them so much. The Jesuits actually made me what I am today, a Dominican. But they gave me a love of learning and a curiosity and the tools to seek wisdom and to seek knowledge. Francis showed me how to love. And so what I invite you to do going forward as we move through this Easter season, move toward that moment in the upper room when we too are given the spirit and the energy and the power and the grace and the mercy to proceed to share the gospel in our lives, I would offer this prayer. It's very simple. It's the one that Francis loved. Lord, make me an instrument.